بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، the question that was asked was with regard to zakat and what are the ahkam, what are the rulings concerning zakat. Now I'm not going into the minute details of that, but broadly speaking, let me speak to you about things which apply to the vast majority of us, inshallah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to do that which is pleasing to Him. Now, first and foremost, the thing to understand about zakat is that zakat purifies wealth. It is a pillar of Islam. It is fard upon every Muslim who is liable to pay it. And refusing to pay zakat is kufr. So, therefore, zakat is a very, very important part of Islam. After salah, zakat is the next pillar of Islam. We have the famous story of the Banu Sakhif, the people of Taif, and all of us know the story of Taif, of Rasulullah ﷺ going there and how he was rejected and how he was evicted literally from there and how shabbily they treated him. So it was a very difficult time as far as he was concerned, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with regard to Taif. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was in Medina, and this is before Fatah Makkah, the people of a delegation came from Taif to meet him. You know, people are smart. When they see that political realities have changed, so they came and they said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we have come to accept Islam. Now everyone was all the Sahaba and people around Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam were very happy. To say that, okay, here is one of the biggest of the tribes, one of the most powerful tribes of the Hejaz, who have now voluntarily come to accept Islam. So they were very pleased. But these people, they came, I mean, they had their own, they came with their own ideas. So they came and they said, well, we will accept Islam. We have come to accept Islam, but we have a condition. So Rasulullah said, well, what is the condition? They said the condition is that we will pray, we will believe in you, we will pray, we will not worship anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we will not give zakat. So Rasulullah said, he said the one who separates the salah from zakat is not a Muslim. And therefore, Rasulullah ﷺ refused to accept their Islam. Now, the Sahaba, some of them advised Nabi ﷺ, and they said, Ya Rasulullah, these are very important people, it's a very powerful tribe, and it will be a great thing for the Muslims if they accept Islam. And so, please, be a bit lenient on them. Let them, they will come to Islam, inshallah, they will come. And so if you can see your way to permitting them to come into Islam with this condition that they will pray, but they will not give zakat, then this will be, maybe it will be something which is beneficial for the Muslims. Rasulullah ﷺ said, the one who separates the salah from the zakat is not a Muslim. Now, interestingly, this was the dalil, this was the proof, the evidence based on which, when after Rasulullah ﷺ passed away, the people, they apostated, as we know. But Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, he stood firm and he said that anybody who separates the salah from zakat is not a Muslim, and therefore I will go to war with that person, right? I will fight that person. So Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu even went to him and he said to him, how will you fight a Muslim? These are Muslims. So how are you saying that you will make war on them? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said to Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said that when you were a non-Muslim, you were very tough, and now that you have become a Muslim, you seem to have softened up. He said, remember what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that the one who separates the salah from the zakat is not a Muslim, and so therefore, if these people are saying that they will pray, but they will not give zakat, then this is what they are doing. They are separating the salah from the zakat, and therefore, as far as I am concerned, these people are not Muslim, and therefore it is jais, permissible to fight them. Now, the point I want to make here is therefore to understand, let us be very clear, zakat is a rukun, it is a pillar of Islam, it is something which is incredibly important, it is not something to be taken lightly, it is something to be that we need to and we must pay zakat. Second thing is, zakat is also purification of wealth. A person who pays zakat, his wealth is purified. Inshallah, that person's wealth is safe. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah in that person's wealth. So this is the second benefit of zakat, that a person's wealth gets purified by paying zakat. Third thing to remember is that charity increases wealth. It does not decrease wealth. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you are in constrained circumstances, he said, give charity. So this seems to be, you know, a strange kind of advice, but that is the hikmah and the wisdom of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is min Allah ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, where he said that when you are in difficult circumstances, give charity, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah in the charity, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and charity increases wealth. So your difficulty will be alleviated, will be removed if you give charity. So therefore, never hesitate about giving zakat. Now, let's quickly look at therefore, refusing to pay zakat, therefore, is kufr. So we don't want to go there at all. We do not refuse to pay zakat. We will pay zakat inshallah, and we do it happily, and we do it as a thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the opportunity to be among those who are liable to pay zakat. Because remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have easily made you and me among those who are liable to receive zakat, right? He could have made us poor, and therefore the question of paying would not be there. We would be waiting for someone else to pay their zakat to us, and we would be living on charity, and that would be very sad situation to be in. Now, what is zakat? You know, on whom is it liable? The term is nisab. Nisab is the criterion. It's the amount that if you have it, you need to pay zakat. The best way to do that, to find out to pay zakat, is to pick one day of the year and then calculate everything on that day and pay zakat as may be due. So, supposing, for example, you say, I'm going to pay on the 10th of Ramadan. Every year, on the 10th of Ramadan, calculate the zakat that is due on you and pay it. That is the best and the easiest way of doing it. Zakat actually is liable on your wealth, which has been in your possession for 12 months. So, if you received some money a month earlier, 2 months earlier, 6 months earlier, 8 months earlier, zakat is not due on that money. But my advice to you is, pay it anyway. Because what you got is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give more when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshallah Allah will give more to you. Don't get too accounting oriented and calculate everything to the last penny. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that with you, then you will not be able to survive. So even if a whole year has not passed on some money, when you are calculating zakat, say for example on the 10th of Ramadan, pay zakat on all your possession on that day, no matter when you received it, inshallah. So this is my advice to you. However, the ruling is that zakat is, so for example, if you have some money which has been with you for over 12 months, and some more money which came to you more recently, then technically speaking, zakat is due only on the older amount which has been with you for 12 months and not on the newer amount. But as I mentioned, pay anyway, because we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's generosity when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us our due and we ask Allah for more than that. Then how much is due? The nisab of zakat is calculated on the basis of gold and silver, and the amount is 85 grams of pure gold. If somebody has 85 grams of pure gold, then that person is liable to pay zakat. If somebody has 595, so say 600 grams of silver, that person is liable to pay zakat. Now, the way to do that is to calculate the value of that, and the fuqaha have said calculate it on the silver so that more people can pay zakat rather than calculating on gold, because the price of gold and the price of silver, there's a huge difference. For example, on today, when I'm recording this on the 31st of March, the price of gold in the US is, or rather in the world market, the price of gold is $54.21 per gram. $54.21 per gram is the price of gold, whereas the price of silver is 78 cents per gram. So it is less than a dollar. 78 cents per gram is the price of silver, whereas the price of gold is $54.21. So if you are calculating zakat based on your wealth equal to 600 grams of silver, then you will end up, more people will be able to pay zakat, and this is evidently good for the whole system. So therefore, the equivalent of that, the equivalent of the value of 595 or 600 grams of silver is $465. So if you have $465, your sum total wealth, if it is $465, then you are liable to pay zakat, which amounts to 2.5% of that. So therefore, please pay it. Now, land or buildings, if you have, and trade goods, if these are for sale. So, for example, if you are in the real estate business, if you are buying and selling properties, if you are buying and selling properties of any kind, whether it's commercial properties, housing, or just plain land, if you are buying and selling it, then the zakat is payable on the value of those on that day, which is the price of the land. And the price of, same thing applies to trade goods. If you have a shop, the goods in the shop, the value of that on that day. So you need to take an inventory and you need to assess the value of the total value of your stock and pay zakat on that. And similarly for lands and buildings, you need to assess the value of your land and the buildings that you have on that particular day and pay zakat on the value of that. Whatever number, is the value of the land and buildings and trade goods, 2.5% of that. If your land or buildings that you have are not for sale, right, doesn't apply to, what I'm saying doesn't apply to trade goods, because these are trade goods for meant for trade. But land and building, for example, if you buy a piece of land and you left it there, it's like an investment, it's there. You're not buying and selling land as a business. You just bought it. Similarly, you have some extra money, you buy an apartment, you buy a shop or something, and you leave it, there is no zakat payable on the value of that building or the value of the land, right? We'll come to the issue of rents in a minute. So if it is, again, this is left to you. I can have land and buildings really for sale, but na'udhu billah to fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I say, oh, but you see, I really don't want to, I'm just leaving it for investment. Now, that would be a very stupid thing to do, because you cannot fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, the question might be asked, well, you know, I have this land, I have this building, I don't intend to, it's investment, I'm not in the business, I'm not buying and selling. But supposing somebody comes and offers me a great price, I will sell it. Now, that doesn't matter. Alhamdulillah, Islam gives you that freedom. If it's, that is understood. If somebody comes and offers me $1 million for my house, I'll sell it. But I'm not, that house is not, I didn't buy it in order to sell it. So, therefore, there is no zakat to be paid on the value of land or buildings which are not for sale, as in a buying and selling process. If you just buy it and leave it there as an investment, then zakat is not payable on that. There's no zakat due on the house you live in or on any land or buildings or even stock shares that you hold without the specific intentions of selling them. So this is the second thing to understand. It is of course understood that you may sell it if you get an exceptional price, but you are not keeping this with the intention of selling, as would be the case if you were in the real estate business. As far as shares are concerned, if the share owner intends to trade in shares and make a profit, then zakat is due on the commercial shares, both on the price of the share and on its profit on that particular day. But if the shares are bought only for investment, so for example, people buy shares of blue chip companies and they just leave them there. They put them in the bank vault and they leave it there. And this is like an investment. They keep it there. You know, maybe my children will inherit that and so on and so forth. So they don't really meant to sell them. So in that case, zakat is not due on the value of those shares, no matter how much that may be. But zakat will be on the profit that you gain from those shares. So if you're getting some profit from the shares, then that profit goes into your bank, that becomes part of your wealth. And on that particular day when you are paying zakat, whatever is the value of that wealth, 2.5% of that is zakat. 2.5% means that if you have $1,000, you're paying $25 as zakat. Now, who can receive zakat? The categories of people who are entitled to zakat are 8, as mentioned in the ayah of Surah Tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned these 8 categories. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, innama sadaqatu lil fuqara'i wal masakini wal amilina 'alayha wal mu'allafati qulubuhum وفي الرقاب والغارمين وفي سبيل الله وابن السبيل فريضة من الله والله عليم حكيم. Allah said, as-sadaqat, and here it means zakat, are only for the fuqara, where people who are poor, and masakin. Now, the difference between the fuqara and the masakin, a faqir is somebody who is poor and who asks for charity, and a miskeen is somebody who is poor but who does not ask for charity. They have a lot of self-respect, so they suffer in silence. It is our job to go and search for them and to help them. And then Allah said, and those, so this is two categories, fuqara and masakin. Then those employed to collect zakat. Now, if that is really applies to organizations and so on, in the time of the Islamic Khilafah, there would be people whose job was to go and collect zakat and so on and so forth, when this used to be done physically. And then to attract the hearts of those who have been inclined towards Islam, meaning people who have recently entered Islam, to help them in their as new reverts, and to free captives, and for those who are in debt. So to free people from debt, to free captives, meaning giving bail to somebody who is in prison. And then for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's cause, so this is a very broad category, anyone who's struggling in the path of Allah, and for the wayfarer, meaning a traveler who's cut off from everything. And Allah said, this is a duty imposed by Allah, faridatan min Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knower and all-wise, wallahu alimun hakeem. So 8 categories, fuqara, masakin, amilina alayha, the people who are employed to collect zakat, then mu'allafati qulubuhum, to attract the hearts of those who have been inclined towards Islam, to free captives, for those in debt, for the cause of Allah, and for the wayfarer. Now, very important to understand that it is not permissible to give zakat to anyone other than those stipulated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in cases where one or more of these categories are not available to you, for example, people who are employed to collect zakat, you might say, well, you know, today nobody is employed to collect zakat. People are paying zakat, they are paying through bank transfer, they are paying through all kinds of technological methods. No one is physically going to collect it, so we don't have anybody to to collect zakat. So fine, no problem. So therefore, that category is not there. Similarly, you might have some other things. So therefore, the point is that, but zakat cannot be given to anyone other than these eight categories. The receiver then must be made the owner of the funds without any strings attached. That is, without compelling them to spend it in any particular way. So you can't, for example, give zakat to a poor student and say, you must spend this only to pay your school fees. You cannot do anything else with the amount. This does not constitute zakat. And if you do that, then your zakat is not valid. So therefore, zakat fund must be given. You can advise a person, no problem. Alhamdulillah, nothing wrong with that. But you cannot compel them to spend the money of zakat which you have given them in any particular way or form. Then zakat funds cannot be used for building or maintaining masajid or madaris or any other institutions and buildings, or to pay the salaries of their employees. So this is again very important. For example, if the imam or the muazzin of a masjid if that person, if the imam or muazzin of the masjid is one of these eight categories, that is, if he is a fakir or a miskin, very poor or in need, or he has debts and so on, then you can give them zakat. In fact, they are even more entitled to it than others, because meeting, for them to meet their, if you help them with their needs, then they can do their duty better. But if they are not among the people who are entitled to zakat, then it is not permissible to give them any zakat funds just because they give the adhan or lead the prayers. So that's very important for us to understand. Zakat is not meant for organizations, masajid and so on, to pay the salaries of their employees. That is not what zakat is meant for. Zakat is also meant only for Muslims. So zakat money cannot be given to non-Muslims. You can help non-Muslims, no problem with that, it is highly recommended, but with non-zakat funds. It is not permissible to give zakat funds to non-Muslims. And finally, very important to remember this and understand this, is that giving zakat to organizations to disburse it. In many cases, we give zakat to different kinds of relief organizations, service organizations. Now, the organization, you must ensure, it's the responsibility of the donor to ensure that the organization keeps a separate account of zakat and non-zakat funds, and that they disburse zakat strictly according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed in the ayah, which I mentioned to you, which is the ayat of Surah Tawbah, ayah number 60. It remains the responsibility of the donor to ensure that his or her zakat is being accounted and disbursed properly. If the organization uses zakat funds in an impermissible way, then the donor's zakat obligation will not be discharged. For example, if the organization is not keeping the account of zakat and non-zakat funds separately, if there is no one monitoring that and everything is going into the same one kitty, then your zakat payment will not be valid and you will still be liable to pay zakat. So it is your responsibility to ensure that this happens. Go check with the organization, tell them to show you their accounts, and if they won't show it to you, do not give them your zakat money. It's your responsibility. Second thing is, find out to whom they are paying and make sure that it goes only to the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted. Final thing is, it's a very good thing to take your children. Islam actually promotes the donor giving zakat directly, personally to the receiver. And the reason for that is because when you actually go and see the situation of the receiver, you might be encouraged to give more than what you are liable for. And that's what is the purpose of recommending that you go and give it in person. Many times we feel that we have given the money to some organization and it's gone. We still live in our own ivory tower. But much better, and this is recommended, go personally, go meet poor people, go sit with them, treat them with dignity. There's no need to tell them that this is zakat money. Now, people have sensitivity about that. They don't like to take a thing which is called zakat money. So no need to tell them that. Just go help them. And take your children with you. Let your children see the situation that people are living in. We live in very stratified societies. And these stratifications are economic in nature. And so therefore, we really don't know how other people are living. So that's why it's very important for us to make sure that we give zakat in a way which promotes goodness all around. I hope I have covered everything. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me for anything I have missed. And do refer to your local ulama and muftiyin for any further clarification that you might need. I'm not giving any fatwas here. I'm just general information about zakat, which I was asked, and this is what I'm giving. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.